Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is it already that time of the week again? Sunday night, my favorite night of the week, my favorite shows of the year during NFL season, and just 2 weeks in, this season is shaping up to be all kinds of dramatic and all kinds of fully invested fans. There's so much happening, and I know it's early, and so because of that, you have to really pay attention to everything to kind of see the ebbs and the flows. But it's been wild swings already in the first 2 weeks. Talking about you, New Orleans Saints. Man alive, we get wild swings in single games from half to half, from quarter to quarter. Seattle Seahawks. There's so much that we can process and digest, and it's hard to get to everything, but that's what we try to do here on the Sunday night show, where we go 4 hours all out football. So I hope you're ready. Are you ready? You better be ready. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I've been taking notes on my 5x7 pink note cards this weekend. So it's maybe 7-8 note cards full of notes from today's game. But I know I'm ready because my hand is cramped up. My hand is as cramped as Christian McCaffrey's legs were cramped when he had to leave the game between Carolina and New Orleans for a couple of different times on Sunday. But because of that, I'm armed and dangerous. I've got everything I need to move forward. We have some awesome highlights. We, of course, have as much of the reaction as we can possibly gather. And that includes some significant injuries in week number two, which really was a major storyline that unfolded on Sunday. So we are nearly complete through week number two. Of course, the NFC North will be in the spotlight come Monday night, which means we'll see what Aaron Rodgers and the Packers can do against the Lions in their second game and whether or not they can get their record back to even, or can the Lions pile on when the Packers are kind of poopy to start the year. No one's ever said that ever to describe an NFL team, but I felt like now is the right time. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. As we look over these games from the second weekend of the NFL season, I want to know who's made the most impressive start. Who has impressed you the most through 2 weeks? You can go team, you can go individual. I'm more looking at the team aspect to start the show, more looking at those teams that are on a seesaw. Week one was great, week two was terrible, or the opposite is true. Who's made the most impressive start? Because there are teams that do have unblemished records. And then the other side of that coin, who's been the cringiest to this point? You know, cringiest is actually a word. It's actually an adjective. So here's what we have in the standings. And this is pretty impressive, actually. We knew the AFC would have a lot of teams fighting, scratching, clawing. People tried to boil it down to just the Chiefs and everyone else, and that is not even remotely accurate. In fact, there are only two perfect teams, and by perfect, I'm referring to record. There are only two perfect teams left in the American Football Conference from the AFC West, but not the Chiefs, and we will get to Sunday night football. The Raiders and the Broncos are the only two teams that won both their games in the first 2 weeks out of the AFC. Now in the NFC West, Well, it's brilliant. We knew it would be brilliant. And for that reason, the Seattle Seahawks are going to feel that overtime loss to Tennessee when they had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter at home. That's a painful loss they may look back on. But still three teams undefeated in the West, the Niners, the Rams, the Cardinals. Talk about a wild game in the desert, all gas, no brakes. And then in the NFC South, the Buccaneers and the Panthers. The Panthers, mind you. Good for you, Sam Darnold. And so we right now have only seven teams that are undefeated out of 32. The Packers will be looking for their first win come Monday night, as will the Lions. So those two teams, they're not on equal footing, but they are winless. The Vikings are 0-2. The Giants are 0-2. The Falcons are 0-2. That's out of the NFC. In the AFC, once again, parity reigns supreme. You only have two undefeated teams. You only have three teams that are winless in the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Colts. Everybody else is smushed together in the middle. It's crowded in the middle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Love for you to find us on our Facebook page, or you can join us and hang out, have a conversation on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, is where you'll find the show polls that we put up, and we do three of them, at least three of them every week, starting with our first one in the wake of the full NFL Sunday slate. That's our Monday MVP poll. We've already been discussing candidates. Man, there are some worthy candidates. It's hard to narrow it down, but we're going to do our best. There are some guys who refuse to be left out of the Monday MVP poll, and we'll get to those names coming up. But for you, who's been most impressive through 2 weeks, whether team or individual player? Maybe it's a particular unit on one team. And then who's been the cringiest, least impressive, for those of you who don't like my word. It's such a great word. You can actually taste it, cringiest. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's start at the back, or at the end. I suppose we should start at the end and move our way backward. We always like to start with Sunday Night Football, especially when we've got games like we did just a few hours ago. And we knew going in, this was a massive game for the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, big for the Chiefs, of course, because it is the AFC, and they're trying to defend their territory there as the champions of the conference, not to mention the game was at Arrowhead. But desperation, sense of urgency, must win. Some people even applied that term to this game against Baltimore with all the injuries the Ravens have taken so far. And then to go into Kansas City against a team they had not beaten with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. This was such an important battle for them. Fight, scratch, claw, do whatever you got to do. You've got to come away with the win, especially in the AFC North, where it's going to be extremely competitive. But when it started out, wasn't looking so good for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore.
They'll go empty here. Three receivers left, two to the right. Jackson back in the shotgun, 3rd and 8 from the 27. Here's the snap. Jackson back, looks, throws right side. It's intercepted. Picked off by the Chiefs. Back down the far sideline. Tyrann Mathieu cuts inside, avoids a tackle, and scores. Mathieu picked it off. He takes it in for 6, and the Chiefs are on the board first. The third play of the game for the Ravens turns into a pick 6. It's 6-0 Kansas City.
Ryan Radke on the Westwood One Radio Network. So Lamar Jackson throws a pick 6 on the opening drive. Don't! And then he throws his second interception late in the first quarter. But get this. The Chiefs are only up 21-17 at the half. Why? Because Baltimore's moving the ball. They score against that defense. I even pointed out, no. Your offense is not your problem. Even with the injuries, we know that Lamar Jackson can engineer scoring drives. I was more concerned about the Baltimore defense. We will get to that. So Baltimore able to use that formula that we've seen with Lamar Jackson, which is run it, pound the ball, and if you can, with the ball control, keep it away from the opposing quarterback. However, the Chiefs start the second half fast. They go up by 11 early in the second half, twice actually, with a pair of 40-plus yard touchdowns. Byron Pringle catching one ball from Patrick Mahomes, and then Travis Kelce, what in the world? Unfreaking believable.
Mahomes waiting, gets the snap. He's back against the blitz. He's looking, looking, moving to his right. Mahomes giving ground, throws. That one is caught. That's Kelce cutting left now. Breaks a couple of tackles, 40. Down to the 35, 30. Near side numbers, 25. Out of an ankle tackle, 20. Down the sideline of the 10. Jumps over a defender. Hit from behind. Diving into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Travis Kelce did the work. He made the catch from Mahomes. He cut all the way across the field. Some nifty footwork. Breaking tackles and scores. A 46-yard touchdown pass.
Crazy.
And the Chiefs extend the lead again.
That is unbelievable.
Seriously. I said unreal, but I had to add a freaking on my tweet because unreal wasn't enough. This guy is built like LeBron James, but he is fast. And he will run into guys, run them over. They bounce off of him. We've never seen a tight end like this. Okay, maybe we have, but I'm captivated by what Travis Kelce brings to the table. So a 46-yard catch and run by Kelce. And again, for the second time in that second half, the Chiefs are ahead by 11 points. It's 35-24 late in the third quarter when the tide turns. And this is what I mean about NFL games, especially early in the season. This is why I laugh at people who think they know. You know nothing. We don't know what's going to happen from half to half, from quarter to quarter in the NFL. And there's about a dozen examples of how you can never get comfortable in an NFL game, not as a player, not as a coach, not as a fan. Just in week two alone, wild, wild roller coaster rides. So the tide shifts. Now, this is in Kansas City. But the final three drives for the Chiefs, do I sound fired up? I kind of am. Interception by Patrick Mahomes, a punt on what I think was a five and out. So it's a really short drive. And then another turnover. Those are your final Chiefs drives at home in the fourth quarter when they're protecting a double figure lead. Who would have thunk it? Instead, Baltimore then goes on a pair of fourth quarter touchdown drives, similar to what we saw against the Raiders going back to Monday night. Now, the problem was the defense couldn't hold the lead, but we've seen them close strong. The one drive that was such a monster consumed 8 minutes, 14 plays. And this is how you knew this was a different game in the fourth quarter.
Jackson falls back into the shotgun. He takes the snap, holds it out for Williams. Jackson keeps it, runs right, and somersaults into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens, and Baltimore has taken the lead. 3 minutes and 14 seconds to go, and the Ravens have their first lead tonight. Lamar Jackson kept it, went running to the right. He was all by his lonesome and a little showtime at the end. Baltimore goes in front.
You know what? Listening to that call with Ryan Radke and Westwood One, but we're still getting to the good stuff here with the Baltimore Ravens at home. So Baltimore takes the lead on a 14-play, 8-minute monster drive, and Lamar flips into the end zone because is there anything that Lamar can't do? The individual feats of strength. And so then at this point, there's 3 minutes and 14 seconds left for Patrick Mahomes. Well, of course, that's plenty, right? And the Chiefs are on the move into Baltimore territory. And it feels like we've seen this movie before, except sometimes when the ball is not in the hands of Patrick Mahomes, things can go horribly wrong.
Mahomes up under center, handoff Edwards-Helaire, hit in the backfield, he fumbled. The ball is out. The Ravens think they have it. The officials coming together. Edwards-Helaire fumbled. There's a massive pile up at the 34, and Baltimore has recovered. The Ravens will take over with 1:20 remaining. It was the rookie Odafe Owe that recovered the fumble, and the Baltimore Ravens with a 1-point lead and 1:20 to go have the ball.
Welcome to the NFL rookie. What a moment. And what a moment for that Ravens defense. So completely the opposite of what we saw in Vegas, when three times in the fourth quarter on Monday night, the Baltimore defense coughed up a lead. Remember, the Raiders kept coming back, and they came back again, and they came back again. And even when they got into overtime, despite the mistakes, the Ravens could not capitalize. And so it was the defense that let them down in the fourth quarter and overtime on Monday, but a completely different story in this fourth quarter. That was one hell of a fourth quarter for the Baltimore Ravens defense. And then we get this moment that might be my favorite of the first week. John Harbaugh, easy to read lips, on the sidelines, as Baltimore is faced with a critical decision. Do you give the ball back to Mahomes and the Chiefs offense with a minute to go, or do you go for it on fourth down? And the camera focuses on John Harbaugh on the sidelines, and what does he say? Do you want to go for it? Do you want to go for it? Lamar, do you want to go for it? All right, let's go. Communicating with his quarterback, trust and faith in his quarterback, even though his defense has played well. But why put the ball back in the hands of Patrick Mahomes? Even if you miss you miss that fourth down opportunity, you don't convert it, there's still time coming off the clock. Now, it's not optimal, of course, because the ball would go back to the Kansas City Chiefs. But I love the fact that this head coach allows his quarterback to make the choice and have the ball in his hands with the game on the line.
Watkins is short by a yard, 1:05 to go. Kansas City uses its final timeout.
And now John Harbaugh has one heck of a decision to make.
The offense is staying on the field. The ball is at Baltimore's own 43.
Well, they're at least looking like they're going to go for it. At a minimum, I think a hard count seems like a good idea.
Jackson lines up in the shotgun. He takes a quick snap. Jackson running to his left. He's got the first down, and the Ravens are going to win. Lamar Jackson running left, takes it out to the 45. He picks up two. It's a first down, and the Ravens are going to get a big early season victory.
Wow.
How about the guts of that call?
John Harbaugh has some big ones. Stones.
Maybe I wanted to be sure myself, you know? I knew he was going to say yes, so. But we were going for it at that point.
Oh, you want to go for it? I'm like, hell yeah. Again, I said it again. Like Seattle 2 years ago. And he told me to play. I'm like, oh, we should spread him out. And Coach James Urban, my QB coach, he like, you got to go. I'm like, man, I got to get this first down no matter what. I got to jump, dive through a defender. And O-line did a great job pushing those guys back. Got the first down for the victory.
Lamar Jackson, 239 yards passing and a touchdown. Couple of interceptions, but they were early in the game. 107 yards on the ground, two more touchdowns. And once again, Baltimore dominates that line of scrimmage. Even with the number of running backs that they've lost, the Ravens go for 251 yards rushing. Hollywood Brown, a nice mix over the top, 113 yards and a TD. And while Patrick Mahomes was fine, he did have that fourth quarter interception, but three touchdowns, nearly 350 yards, the Kansas City defense got mashed, giving up nearly 500 total yards to the Ravens. Baltimore goes 4-for-4 in the red zone. But what will stick with me about this game is how 6 days after that defense let them down in Vegas against the Chiefs, the best team in the AFC, a perfect, near perfect fourth quarter in which they force a fumble, force a five and out, pick off Patrick Mahomes, give the ball back to their star quarterback in Lamar Jackson. Really impressive. So as I'm asking you, who's been the most impressive through 2 weeks? Even if the Ravens are 1-1, think of the number of guys they've lost and the fact that they fought tooth and nail on the road in Vegas. Then they come home. Really no choice but to win that game. And they do it and get a victory over a team that they have been unsuccessful against in the Lamar Jackson era. It's an era. So who has been the most impressive through 2 weeks? Who has been the cringiest through 2 weeks? There's a lot to choose from. It's been wild. A-Law Radio on Twitter. Also, you don't need to rip me for my mistakes. Don't you worry. I rip myself far worse than you do. I'm ready to wave my white flag and say, okay, I suck. But you know what? There's 4 more hours to go, so I just got to keep going. So thank you for your tweets. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We are just getting started. You'll hear from Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and we're going to look at some of the other crazy wild swings, like those Raiders we were just talking about, who won in overtime Monday night and then had to turn around on a short week themselves. We're just getting started. No place to go but up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Mahomes up under center, handoff Edwards, Helaire, hit in the backfield, he fumbled, the ball is out, the Ravens think they have it, the officials coming together, Edwards, Helaire fumbled, there's a massive pile up in the 34, and Baltimore has recovered, the Ravens will take over with 1:20 remaining. It was the rookie Odafe Owe that recovered the fumble, and the Baltimore Ravens with a 1-point lead and 1:20 to go have the ball. Wow. Watkins is short by a yard, 1:05 to go. Kansas City uses its final timeout.
And now John Harbaugh has one heck of a decision to make.
The offense is staying on the field. The ball is at Baltimore's own 43.
Well, they're at least looking like they're going to go for it. At a minimum, I think a hard count seems like a good idea.
Jackson lines up in the shotgun. He takes a quick snap. Jackson running to his left. He's got the first down, and the Ravens are going to win. Lamar Jackson running left, takes it out to the 45. He picks up two. It's a first down, and the Ravens are going to get a big early season victory.
Wow.
How about the guts of that call?
John Harbaugh has some big ones. Stones.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The play-by-play of Ryan Radke, the colorful commentary of one Ross Tucker on the Westwood One radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us on this Sunday night, my favorite night of the week. When it comes to football, this is the place to be. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're going to get to more impressive Sunday performances. But who's been the most impressive through 2 weeks and who's been the cringiest through these 2 weeks, with still the Packers and Lions to come on Monday night? 855-212-4227. As you can imagine, the way that the Ravens rallied from double figures down early in the fourth quarter, defense, offense, all coming together, this was the type of win that can really give them a massive confidence boost.
I couldn't be more proud of our guys. You know, we've said it before, but I don't think I've ever been happier when we've said it. It's not perfect. It's not pretty sometimes, usually, but it is us. That's how our guys play, and I want our guys to play just like that all year, just better at times.
It feels good to, you know, finally, you know, give this team, giving us a lot of troubles in the past. It was big, man. Sunday night football, beat the Chiefs. You know, we know they're such a great team, and to beat them early, I think it's going to be a really, really big confidence booster for us.
It's amazing what one win like this can do, especially when they desperately need it. It's not impossible to make the postseason being 0-2, but considering the division that the Ravens play in, where it's so tight from top to bottom. In fact, what is the top and what is the bottom? Right now, we're not really sure. If you look at the standings in the AFC North, all four teams are 1-1. All four teams. So what's really important? You have to protect your home field. Obviously, you have to beat those opponents that you are expected to beat. And by that, I mean the ones that have losing records or aren't as good as you on paper, quote unquote. And of course, you really have to take everything you've got into divisional matchups. So right now, the entire AFC North is 1-1. As for the AFC West, raise your hand if you are not shocked at all to see the Raiders and Broncos at 2-0 on top of that division. The Raiders, we know what they're all about, haven't made the playoffs since 2016. They never seem to be a complete team. Maybe they've turned the corner. The Broncos had not won in September under Vic Fangio until this month. It's the Chiefs and the Chargers expected to set the pace in that division, who are now at 1-1. But Andy Reid and the Chiefs only have to look at that fourth quarter to know that this is on them.
Listen, turnovers, they kill you in this league, and we had two of them down the stretch, crucial time. So we've got to do better. We've learned from that. We've got to tackle better on the defensive side, and we'll work on that and get better at that. We put ourselves in some long yardage third downs there, you know, that second half. And can't do that, not against that team. So they got to be workable, and you're looking at 12, you know, plus yards, and that's a problem against guys that can rush passers.
Do you remember Monday night in Las Vegas on Baltimore's drive in overtime on third down, in which Carl Nassib sacked Lamar and he fumbled the ball, gave it back to the Raiders? Now, they lined up for a field goal, but not fast enough, took a flag. And then, of course, Zay Jones caught the touchdown from Derek Carr. It's like plan B, right? But it was a Lamar Jackson fumble, and he has to carry that weight of coughing up the football. You can imagine how Clyde Edwards-Alaire feels after he's the one on third down Sunday night who coughs up the football, and yet his guys are rallying around him. Patrick Mahomes says, hey, this is not on him.
We'll need them the whole entire season. Don't let one play define you. I mean, it's a long season. Obviously, we lost. I mean, it's a good football team that we played at their place. But it's a long season. And if we want to be great, if we want to have a chance to try to make another run at this thing, he's going to be an important part of it.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, and that's just not to Clyde. That's to everybody in the building. That's to everybody in the locker room. We'll never point a finger and say this is one person's loss. That's just not how we roll here in Kansas City. We'll fix it. It's a four quarters football that we got to fix, that we got to get better at. Just got to man up and fix the problems, fix the issues. Turnovers are big. I mean, on the offensive side, just accountability, making sure you're making the blocks and then setting up guys to, you know, do their job. And then that's the biggest thing, is just making sure that we're playing four quarters of football, not letting up at any point in the game.
Well, that's huge, right? You cannot play 3.5 quarters and think you're going to win against a quality opponent or against a crappy opponent in the NFL. This is the best of the best. And remember, the game started with a pick six by Lamar Jackson. Then there was another interception before the first half was over. Early in the fourth quarter, the Chiefs led by 11. And they've got the ball in their hands, trailing by just a single point with time running down in the fourth. No, you don't get to count your chickens. Nobody counts their chickens, or I guess in football, it's all the talk about the goats. Nobody counts your baby goats until that W is on the board. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page will put up a spot there where you can weigh in. Who's been most impressive, whether team or individual? Maybe it's a defense or an offense. There have been some pretty impressive performances through the first 2 weeks, but who's been most impressive and who's caused you to cringe? Who's been the cringiest through the first 2 weeks? Jets, and just the way that poor Zach Wilson is getting his hazing ritual out of the way in the first 2 weeks. I thought hazing was illegal in most places, but he is getting hazed big time by NFL defenses to start the year. So welcome to the NFL, rookie. So we'll take your calls, or we'll take your social media posts, your tweets, your Facebook messages as we cruise our way through this Sunday night into a Monday. And I know then you got to start off a work week, but it's better with football.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
As a fullback, play action fake, pass to the end zone, catch, diving catch, touchdown, Tampa Bay, Tommy.
to Gronke again. That's two today.
From the 1 yard line, passing the ball toward the end zone. Mike Evans makes the catch. Is he in bounds? He is. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire to Cam Evans. That one's for Monty Kiffin.
Second down and five, about five and a half. Mark to make is the 7 yard line. Here's the snap out of the gun. Brady looking, going toward the end zone. Ed Godwin makes the catch. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons. Five touchdown passes, Tom Brady today.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
The man, the myth, the machine. It's all true. He's indefatigable. I don't know if he's invincible. He is still just human, except he is pressing the issue. He is forcing the limits of what we expect for professional athletes. The old dude with five more touchdown passes on this day. And boy, did that Buccaneers offense look smooth and still, according to the members of that offense, they have miles to go to be where they want to be where they feel like they are the best. But they were toying with the Falcons defense. And we know the Falcons defense is not great. Remember what happened last week in the season opener against Philadelphia. Same old story, right? You get what you get from the Atlanta Falcons offense, and they hire an offensive coach in Arthur Smith. And for most of this game, Matt Ryan and his offensive weapons looked great. They managed to score 15 unanswered points, and pull within 3 points of the Buccaneers late in this game. The problem is the defense cannot stop my 99-year-old grandmother. So it's unfortunate, but that's where they are. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Feels familiar for Falcons fans, to be sure. Tom Brady had three touchdown passes in the first half, two more of those to Gronk. He was already over 200 yards. And they take a 28-10 lead before the Falcons offense locks in. And like I said, 15 straight points, and Matt Ryan looked good. Of course, as I tweet about how Matt Ryan is crushing it, then the wheels come off for the Atlanta Falcons. They go three and out, and then two interceptions for touchdowns by Mike Edwards. One of those was a tip ball that he was right place, right time, but certainly heads up, great instinct. But yeah, Mike Edwards, the defensive juggernaut there in the fourth quarter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady has his fifth touchdown pass on what was a gorgeous loft to Chris Godwin, streaking into the corner of the end zone. I mean, the touch on that football, phenomenal. 10 different Tampa Bay targets. Where have we heard that before? That's exactly what Tom Brady did with the New England Patriots. He raises the level of play of everyone around him, and he spreads the ball around so the defense cannot game plan for one guy or two or three. 48-25 is the final. Brady with the five touchdowns, two also for Mike Evans. And get this, the Bucs are 4 of 5 in the red zone. So against a division opponent, this one is huge for Brady and the Super Bowl champs.
Good to get the win. We're 2-0, and there's a lot to build on. And, just good to beat a division opponent. And, we got to go on the road against a really good team next week.
I don't know if you all saw the exchange that the Buccaneers website put up last week between Brady and Gronk, and it's essentially Gronk asking questions of Tom Brady, and that's where the whole storyline came out about how Brady says he could play until he's 50, but it was really banter back and forth. It was cute. Well, there's one particular stretch there. It's maybe 7 seconds where Brady and Gronk are giggling like schoolgirls. And so after Brady throws his, I think it was third, fourth touchdown passes, the Buccaneers website tweeted that clip of the two of them giggling. Maybe it was after Gronk's second touchdown. Tweets the clip of the two of them giggling. Producer James, we've got to find it at some point. Maybe not right now. But it's really funny because first it's Brady giggling, and then it's Gronk giggling, and it's just the two of them who are one of the great married couples in sports, right? The old married couples in sports. Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady just know each other extremely well, and of course Gronk is healthy now.
He's got great hands, great instincts, awareness. I think what people don't realize, he is an elite blocker, and what he does in terms of the red area, third down, blocking in the run game, you run behind them.
Tom on Twitter, how about Tom Brady? 9 touchdowns in 2 weeks, 4 of them to Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, it's great to have all those incredible weapons like Chris Godwin, like Mike Evans, like some of their running backs. But man, if you've got someone who knows you inside and out, it's a little bit like the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce connection. Or how about Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett? We could go on and on about the receivers and quarterbacks, or the receivers and their targets who have that kind of other world connection. But certainly Brady and Gronk and their history, it stretches way back to the tune of more than 100 touchdowns. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Is it the Falcons who've been the cringiest in the first 2 weeks of the season, now losing in the division? And maybe there's no shame in losing to the Buccaneers, but how about that loss to Philadelphia, and they're at 0-2?
Usually it comes down to, you know, turnovers, and then right, we had 3, they had 1, and you know, ours came at critical times in the fourth quarter. And I would say that about any game in the NFL. You know, you can't just blame it on one play. You know, it's a lead up. You know, we got to be able to convert third and inches to not even put the punter back there. You know, everybody's got a job to do. Obviously, you get down in the fourth quarter, those plays are magnified, but there's a lot of plays that lead up to it.
Arthur Smith, head coach of the Falcons, just spells it out plainly. And I don't think I am the jinx, like the Madden cover curse, but after I tweeted about Matt Ryan, he throws 3 interceptions, all of them in the second half. Oi, it's a facepalm. 855-212-4227. So maybe the Falcons are the cringiest. Maybe the Saints are the cringiest. Or maybe they're just on this wild seesaw and we have no idea. Will the real New Orleans Saints please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up. Another game inside the NFC South with the New Orleans Saints on the road at the Panthers. Now remember, they haven't been back to New Orleans because of the cleanup from Hurricane Ida. This time the game in Charlotte, and already at halftime, it was a 17-0 lead for Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey and the Carolina Panthers. And once again, we see Sam Darnold just look so comfortable in this offense with Matt Rhule, the way he didn't for more than flashes with the Jets.
Marshall and Anderson go to the left side. Moore to the right, one back McCaffrey. The third down play from the 2. McCaffrey leaves the backfield, starts left, heads to the right, and the throw, Moore caught, touchdown on a simple in cut end zone.
Clock rolling down, we're in beautiful field goal range, hopefully we can finish off with a touchdown.
Trufant on Moore, wide right, Darnold gives to McCaffrey on the counter, McCaffrey to the 10, McCaffrey to the 5, and McCaffrey insists on the end zone, touchdown Carolina.
So Christian McCaffrey, though he was on and off the field in the second half with cramps, had 137 total yards and a score. Mick Mixon on the Panthers radio network. Get this, the Saints don't score until the fourth quarter. Jameis had a rushing touchdown, but his first 2 interceptions of the season, even fewer yards than last week. Remember, he was under 150 last week, though he threw 5 touchdown passes. He didn't even get to 120 this week, and the interception bug bit again.
I just got to do a better job communicating. I think that's the biggest thing. We have to continue to push forward and, like I say, eliminate the negatives and just build on the positives, man. We I've been a part of these games before. A lot of people have been a part of these games before, but we can't let this game affect us heading to next week.
Offensively, particularly, it's as poor as we've been in a long time around here, and that starts with me. We've got to do a better job going in.
The voice of one Sean Payton. So the New Orleans Saints are at 1-1. Meanwhile, the Panthers are right there with the Buccaneers atop the NFC South. Seriously, raise your hand if you saw that coming. That's one of the big surprises of this first 2 weeks. If we're looking for impressive, though, how about the Carolina defense? Now, remember, this is a Saints team that scored 5 touchdowns in week number 1 through the air. They were extremely efficient. But that Carolina defense, 4 sacks, 2 takeaways, allowing the Saints just 128 total yards. That is really hard to do in an NFL game with 2 professional teams. Your defense only allows 128 total yards. There were some really incredible defensive performances on Sunday. That includes the Chicago Bears. We'll get to them against the Bengals, and also a rash of not just quarterback injuries, but major high-profile injuries in week number two. It was hard to keep up with them. This is the part of the game that I hate. We're asking you who's most impressive through 2 weeks of the NFL season, and who desperately needs your love and your lifting up. Who's been the cringiest through these first 2 weeks? So I did put a post on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's great to hear from you already. We are just getting started, it feels like, and yet we're already 1 hour through this Sunday night show. Here's a tweet. Honestly, don't think they're the most impressive, but I still feel like tipping the old cap to Carolina. Doubt many thought they'd be 2-0. Yeah, I think you're right in that respect. There are a lot of teams that are inconsistent to start the season, or teams that haven't played their best, and yet they've managed a pair of wins. We will cruise on through next After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.